Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this episode of Making Shift Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. Are you searching for answers beyond diet and exercise? Join us as Dr. Steph shares insightful tips you can use to feel better right now and valuable information about your health that you may not know. It's all served up with a healthy dose of smiles and laughter along the way. Now, here's Dr. Steph.
Hello, it's Dr. Steph, and I want to welcome you to the 48th episode of Making Shifts Happen, where we're going to inspire, inform, and motivate you to succeed with creating your optimal healing and improve your health and wellness. If you're joining us live here on Blog Talk Radio, it's great to have you with us. If you are joining us through a podcast on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or Wi-Fi radio, a very special welcome to you as well. These podcasts are designed to bring you leading-edge information about a variety of health topics. My team and I are dedicated to bringing you this information so that you can learn about what you can do to improve your health and start living an increasingly purposeful life. We will be back here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, so plan on joining us each and every week. I'd like to thank my loyal listeners for coming back again and again and for asking a couple of questions. So what's come up is I've been getting a lot of articles on science proving stress busting methods. And I wanted to go through one of the more recent ones with you because it had some new information in there that I hadn't seen for a while, and it included one that I really liked. And so we'll discuss this and talk a little bit about it here in just a minute. One of the things that I'd like to remind us of as we move into this. This article came through. This article came through from Parker Malloy, M-A-L-L-O-Y, and I found it on Upworthy. And so I thought that was a good place to go. And the name of the article is Six Scientifically Proven Ways to Have a Better Day, October 26, 2015. It says, life can be a little overwhelming at times. Fortunately, science has your back. And as we talk about stress and other health issues, I wanted today's quote to reflect that. And this is a little bit more metaphysical. It says, for beautiful eyes, look for the good in others. For beautiful lips, speak only words of kindness. For poise, walk with the knowledge that you are never alone. And this comes to us from Audrey Hepburn. So we can influence our environment. We've talked about this many, 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 many times. And I like this idea of coming back in of six scientifically proven ways to have a better day. One of my friends and I were talking about the synergy of bringing things together. So while each of these proven ways or techniques to manage stress probably has a lot of scientific validation behind it, especially these days, I wonder what kind of synergy they have by working together and in harmony with each other, if the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. So we've talked about the four self-healing skills throughout my broadcast. You can go back and listen to the first few. This is almost a year long now. We've got 48 episodes in. So there's a year's worth of great information coming your way if you just take the time to listen to it and ponder about it. Because one of the things that I have learned in my process of stress management is that I can know something talking with people and they'll say, oh, yeah, I know that. But until you do something with it or you explore it and make it yours, it's just an interesting piece of information. And unless you have told your nervous system to attach a high value to it, it is very quickly forgotten. So one of the ways that you can retain information that you find valuable is to write it out, to speak it, and to actually do something with it. Isn't that interesting? So what are these six scientifically proven ways to have a better day? What are they? Well, you're familiar with some of them, and some of them come to you in a little bit different context. The first one is breathe deeply. Breathe deeply. And one of the questions I've had put to me recently through this blog is, or through an email is, you talk about emptying your lungs as completely as possible. And they said it really is never possible to completely empty your lungs because we want to get out as much of the dead air and used air as possible and replace it with fresh oxygenated air. And they said, you know, the little alveoli in the lungs would stick together and this and that and the other. So I did some research on that, and I looked up some things, and I found that while the lungs probably never completely empty fully of air, they do empty pretty fully, but the little alveoles don't stick together. Actually, the lungs are held into place by the rib cage and by the intercostal muscles and by the connections. So the experiment that showed that you can change the volume inside a lung while the lung still holds its shape was to actually take a soda pop bottle and cut off the bottom of it and put in a rubber bottom and then take a balloon and hook the balloon on the inside and then pull that rubber bottom and the balloon expands and then let the rubber bottom go back to its natural state, and the balloon contracts and sends the air out. So as I watched that, I was pretty fascinated with this. While you will probably never empty your lungs completely of air, even though we attempt to do it, the lungs can not only maintain their shape, but they can hold a place for the new to come in. And that's getting a little bit metaphysical here on us, taking the anatomy and moving it into all right, I'm back. And I'm not sure when it cut out on me, then disconnected me from the show. So I'll just do a brief review about the first scientifically proven way to reduce stress, which is breathing. And we were talking a little bit about whether or not you could completely empty your lungs from air. And I did some research and found that you really don't, but you create a more beneficial mix by breathing deeply. And you get more oxygenated air mixed in with the air that's been deoxygenated, and therefore you have more oxygen available to your system. So as we work through that, and I described an experiment that showed that the lungs do maintain their shape, and the function of the air coming in and out isn't really a full byproduct of your lungs expanding and contracting because they are held in place. But rather the vacuum created with the diaphragm moving, which is why it's much easier on your system to do belly breathing or diaphragmatic breathing. The second scientifically proven way is actually muscle relaxation, but they call this the squeeze method. And in the squeeze method, they actually have you tighten an area and then relax it, and tighten an area and then relax it, and be aware of the difference between the tightened area and the relaxed area. And when I do whole body breathing, guided imageries, and meditations, we actually have you breathe into a place and breathe out to relax it. And your nervous system does what your mind asks it to do. So when you say release or relax, the muscle tends to follow the direction that it's given in the whole body breathing meditation. So this is a combination of actually both being aware of where there's tightness, tension in your body, and relaxing it, either using a conscious control to relax your neck muscles or tighten them and then relax them, and breathing. Very effective. The third stress reduction technique that they mentioned in this article was music. And they talk about classical music being more stress-reducing than other types. However, the research has been done on Mozart. Mozart really does activate certain areas of your brain, and it inhibits certain stresses, and it increases and enhances learning capacities of the brain, especially the young brain. And those studies are well recorded. There's a book out called The Mozart Effect. There's all kinds of information. However, I would suggest that you understand that music is a vibration that moves through your entire mind body. And grunge rock and hard rock and those types of music actually depress your nervous system and stress you out. They have a beat and a rhythm that is designed to put you in the fight, flight, or freeze mode, and it increases your adrenaline output. Other types of music, relaxation music, meditation music, classical music, or I like happy music. Pharrell Williams has a song, Come On, Get Happy, and listening to that type of music improves my relaxation response and decreases my stress. So I have lots of pleasure music. I have disco music when I want to get up and move, because I do understand that the music will influence different parts of my body and influence different activities of my nervous system. So when I just want to get out and feel really good, I put on some high-energy, high-level music that really is designed to get the body moving, and you really can't not do it. I'm one of those people that if I have a good song on the radio and I'm at a stop sign, you'll see me moving my body in harmony with the music and just allowing myself to feel really good. And it's nice to know that science backs the understanding that music is really helpful for you, but it depends on the type of music that you listen to or you hear. And it's interesting, in the article, they talked about slower rhythms, reducing stress, and promoting long-term heart health. I found that pretty interesting. So, when we come back, we'll talk about the other three that are scientifically proven, but we'll also explore the synergy of using all of these together. Here is a brief break for the Calm Moms free report and information how you can get it. Please remember, the bonus of the audio for the free report is no longer available right now. It may become available in the future. But for any reason at all, I'd encourage you to sign up for the Calm Moms free report. It talks about these things in a little bit greater depth than I'm able to get into here on the radio show. We'll be back in just a minute. Thank you for listening.
Stress is so common in our fast-paced society right now, we don't realize how much it depletes us and how much time and energy we spend just trying to get through our day. What if you knew ways to manage your stress and your energy so that you would have more energy at the end of every day? Did you know that with a little help and information on the Calm Moms free report, you can begin relieving your stress? Start feeling more peaceful right away. Get your life back on track and become more efficient with your time and time management. Relieve pain. And this is important for moms and their children. Have fewer doctor visits and suffer less from illness. You can sign up for this Calm Moms free report on www.makingshiftshappen.com/calm-moms-free-report. Go to Making Shifts Happen right now and register for this life-changing free report. Remember, this life-enhancing report is absolutely free. And as a special bonus, if you act right now, you'll be sent an audio of the main tips to remind you of how to be peaceful and calm. This Calm Moms free report in audio is a limited time offer, so act right now to get your special bonus.
And we're back. Thank you for staying with us. We were talking about the 6 scientific stress reduction techniques, and there are so many more. There are so many more. This just happened to be an article that I came across, and I thought it would be a good topic for today's radio show because it does include things other than the 4 self-healing skills. This one does not include water, and water is a part of your 4 self-healing skills. This one does not include awareness, and this one does not include being in the present moment. So what does it include? What are the other 3 that we want to discuss and go through a little bit greater depth? One is to take a stroll. Now, this can be helpful on many different levels. First of all, the physical action of a stroll rather than a run. Relaxing, being mindful, being very present to the stroll. Getting out and moving your body. And then coming back after your nice stroll in nature, where you're getting sun and fresh air and you're belly breathing and you're aware of colors and you're aware of sounds. See, for me, music doesn't always have to be composed music. It can be the music of nature. It can be the music of kids' laughter. It can be so many different things. So on your stroll, see how many sounds you notice. The crunching of the leaves, thought I'm here now. The sounds of squirrels running up and down the trees. The sounds of birds as they make their sounds. It, you know, all of that can be music to the ears and really bring you back into a more parasympathetic place of being, which is huge in stress reduction. The number 5 in this article was grab a book and read. Grab a book and read. I mentioned earlier that sometimes just knowing the information isn't enough. I was watching something on a special, and they were talking about the books that helped them the most, and these were successful people, successful business people, successful teachers, successful people who had been successful in their fields. They said that when they had a book that they valued, that book was a lifelong companion. And I thought that was pretty interesting. They said they had sticky notes and highlights, and they came back and reread and reread and reread that book. Because every time they came back, they found something in there that they hadn't been aware of before. And this brings us back into the proverb or the wisdom or the wisdom that says the same person never steps in the same stream. The water in the stream or the river is always flowing, always moving, and it's never the same composition. But the person is also never the same person. So I've had this experience where I have read a book that I just devoured end to end, went back and reread it a year later, And I would swear that it was not the same book. I would swear that somebody had come in and magically changed things around. And all of a sudden, I was seeing things that weren't in the book when I read it the first time. And that's because we create what's called a mental model. I've talked about this before. We create a brain and neural networks that support information. And if we use it a lot, if we don't use it, it weakens it. So when I first heard the term mind-body, I thought it was the strangest term that I had ever heard. I certainly hadn't seen it. I certainly didn't know anything about it. But as I worked with it more and more, I found it everywhere. And I had talked with my mother about it, and she started sending me articles from the newspaper that talked about this mind-body connection. Now, we know that mind-body is an identity. It's not an actual connection. But she said, oh, my gosh, once you've heard the word and it has relevance to you, you see it everywhere. And you may have had this experience as well. The things that I look for in our local newspaper are not the things that another person might look for. So when I read our local newspaper, I go to the comics, of course. I go to the sports page, and if I don't see the word Broncos anywhere in the headlines, I don't pay any attention. And I look through some of the news stories to see if there's anything in the health section that would be of interest to me. I do look at some of the business section, but not tremendously. So when I have a discussion with a business person on the information that was in this day's paper or today's paper, they've gone to the business section first. They've gone to different places after that. And because we have read the paper with different interests and different levels of understanding, it's as if we read two different papers, even though they're the same paper. And that to me has always been very interesting, because instead of telling a person, oh, that's not true, it doesn't say that, I say, oh, what were they seeing that I didn't have a mind that allowed me to see? And I go back in, and sure enough, it's there. So when you read this book for stress busting relief, look at the things that are going to be joyful, helpful, and then come back to the parts that you really got a lot of depth and quality of information from, and read them again. The other thing that I find really interesting in this article, the sixth stress reduction technique, was to actually make friends with your stress. I haven't put it in those terms. I talked about stress as a result of three perceptions. But if you start to make friends with your stress and you become more aware of it in different layers or levels of stress, you can actually learn a lot about it. So when you're highly stressed, it's not the time to say, oh my gosh, let me make friends with this stress and see what's going on. It's time to belly breathe, drink water, become aware, and get back into the present moment. Because high levels of stress indicate that you're not very close to the present moment. So a friend and I were driving in a different city, and it was horrible weather. And we had a green light, and we were traveling maybe 35, 40 miles an hour. Towards an intersection, we had the green light. A car pulls right in front of us, and we both do the mom thing and stick our arms out to keep the other person from flying through the windshield. And I'm yelling, stop, 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 and she's slamming on the brakes. And finally, the person looked at us. Now, this is what happened. They froze. They stopped their car instead of goosing it to get through the intersection more quickly. In that high sympathetic arena of a car barreling down at them, they froze, and they stood on their brakes and stopped. So we had to circle around them, and it looked like we missed them by just an inch. I was literally hearing the metal crunch, even though we hadn't hit them. That's how close it was. My mind filled in so some of those gaps. So my friend pulled over, and she's shaking, and she's really upset, and she says, before I continue driving, I need to settle down, and I'm just shaking. So what we found was we started telling ourselves, oh, what would have happened if we had hit the car, and our nervous system started ramping up the stress again instead of calming down, because we were telling ourselves horror stories about, oh, what injuries could have happened and being stuck in a different town in the hospital and all of those horrific stories that kept our stress level high. Well, at that moment, it wasn't time to make friends with our stress. It was time to come back into the present moment where we were safe, he was safe, the cars were undamaged, and we were ready and able to go on our journey, continue on. We didn't get hurt. No one got hurt. We walked away from it. We were nowhere close to the present moment in the aftermath of that car. We were into horror stories and those types of things. Not good time to try to make friends with stress, but come back later. And on our way home, we started talking about, isn't that interesting we did that? Why were we going to try to tell ourselves horror stories about what could have happened when it actually didn't happen and we were safe? We weren't ready to go back into that safety. We wanted to keep hyping and amping the stress up. So making friends with your stress is best done when you're in a high level of awareness and a deeper understanding of what's happening instead of at the moment of high stress. So that's my tip for handling that type of stress. I hope that this has been helpful for you. Again, repetition, repetition, repetition. You're creating wonderful mental models. You'll start seeing your stress in different ways. And for me, the synergy of these things is working together, breathing deeply, relaxing muscle groups and tightening them, taking a stroll and listening to some great music, sitting down, grabbing a book to read, learning something new so I can think new thoughts and think differently about my stress. And finally, maybe on my stroll while I'm belly breathing and drinking water, making friends with my stress. So, we'll come back to Yoda. There is no try, there is only do. What tool would I use every day that I wouldn't like to live without? Well, I think you heard it, present moment living. That's all for today's show. I'm off to play with my grandchild. And by the way, he got a medal for making the longest kick on his flag football team. So I encourage you to email in at info@makingshiftshappen.com with any comments you'd like to make, questions you'd like to have, or topics that you'd like for me to cover. And if you haven't done so already, consider leaving us a review. It helps other people discover the show and get better seen on iTunes and Stitcher. Remember, I do have some meditation and guided geometries on Amazon.com. So if you want to get into some music aspects or some informational aspects and learn something new with improving your immune system, there's all kinds of information in those CDs. Thank you so much for joining us. See you next week.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. To learn more or to reach out to Dr. Steph, please visit makingshiftshappen.com and join us again next time.